Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello there. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're joining us today. And you can do that if you want to ask a direct question. The price is so low, and we give you the absolute value in that price. It's free. 1-800-229-3000. Joining me today, Dr. Alice Benton.
Yes, hello. Hi, Steve.
Hi, and Mark Cameron.
Hi, Steve. They're
Hi, here. Alice.
Now, I want to ask you guys, based on a British study, what percentage of people by this date have already failed at their New Year's resolution?
Ooh, I would
sure
say,
would guess most of us.
Yeah,
most
98%.
Of us.
Mm.
2/3. So there's hope for humanity. A few people, a third, they actually do that. And why? Well, because you're extremely motivated to pick something to change, right? But motivation is the least likely indicator of success. Just doesn't work, doesn't last. You know, if you're a coach, you want to motivate your team for the game this weekend. There's some point, and then, of course, you have to do that again every week. But as a person, you really need inspiration rather than motivation. To be inspired means there's a God's power in it, God's vision in it, and you asking God into it. So if you've failed, let's say, at eating, we have an amazing experience coming up for you. We do it once a year. It's helped thousands of people keep weight off. It's called Lose It for Life. Shockingly, very little of our time together is spent on what you eat. There is sufficient amount of time on that, but you get 7 teaching sessions, and many of it is about the it, lose it for life, the force behind the food. And then you have 4.5 hours of small group time with one of our great Christian counselors. It's amazing what can happen when you're inspired to join us for Lose It for Life. And that's going to take place on March the 18th, and there are always early birdie specials. So call us and come join us. If you've been before and fallen off, let's get back on the horse or whatever. Stop eating the horse. I don't know how to say it. But but then also, you know, if you've never tried this, because it's not a diet, there are small things that can be done that add up to a great result. And every one of these small things are things that you can do for the rest of your life. The problem with diets is you do it for a while, and when you quit doing it, everything returns back to the way it was. All right, well, 1-800-229-3000, got calls coming in. Before we go to the break, I just want to mention, if you're watching on our New Life YouTube channel, you watched me just hit the microphone, but I am holding up the devotional library, 8 books. I think their retail value is over $100. Things like 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Prayer, things like that. 100 Days of Character, 100 Days to Freedom from Anxiety. And we'll send all of these to you if you join Club New Life for $35 a month. It's our 35th year, and monthly $35. It's a great, great value. And all we're doing is saying thank you for joining Club New Life. If you want to give a gift of any amount and not be part of Club New Life, well, we'll send you Every Believer's Thought Life, the latest book. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron, who thinks that everybody fails at New Year's resolutions.
Most. Not everyone. 2%.
I think you said 99%. Well. I'm not sure, but someone said 99%.
He was leaving Alice in that last 2%.
Right,
he knows
right.
I succeed.
I guess I'm cynical.
By the way, if you want to tell someone how to listen to a show that you were listening to and it was exactly what they needed to hear, you can always hear the show on the New Life app, live or the recording. You can also go to newlife.com. That's another way to do it. Or go to your favorite podcast platform and get New Life as a podcast. That's the way you do it. And if you wonder what I said, because you're as easily distracted as I am, you can just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask, what did he say? All right, let's go to Rita, Irvine, California, KKLA. Hi, Rita. How you doing? And thanks for joining us here today.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi. I am a little bit frustrated of my marriage life. I feel that there's a lot of healing need to be done. I want to complain about my husband.
Well, let me ask you this. How long have you been married, first of all? Help us understand that.
I have been married around 15, 16 years.
Okay. And what's the problem?
Well, I have been holding it in. I have been, like, doing everything that he doesn't do. Now I have the time to complain, because before, but the baby was small, I didn't have time to complain.
Okay, so what's the problem?
He doesn't have things to, right now he's jobless. He stays in his room. Even though he's jobless or not, he always just stays in his room. And his room is full of junk. He throw things on the floor. His laundry is on the floor, and he doesn't fix anything. He just yesterday, ever since we come home from church, he stays in his room until dinner time. Now we have two kids.
Let me ask you a question here. How do you pay the bills and the groceries if he's not working? Do you work?
I am working a little bit, not too much, but he did work before, so we did have saving, and we live very, very frugal.
Okay, and let me ask you this. Every day when he wakes up, is he looking for a job?
He is looking for a job. However, I think he likes to do work because he identify more with his work compared to being, he doesn't have any other identity except for work, I think.
Don't you think that's really the first thing that ought to happen? He gets up, he gets dressed, looks good, and has one interview a day for a job.
That would be good. But he wakes up, he stays in bed, browsing, playing game in his phone, and then come down and eat, and then sometimes he brushes teeth, sometimes he doesn't, but most of the time he doesn't change.
Okay, and I think we got the picture.
Interview happens.
Okay, we got the picture, and we have two experts in what some call slothism. And so let's start with you, Alice. What are you thinking she could do to change things?
Rita, his behavior is inexcusable, and it's crazy-making to you. I do wonder if there might be some clinical depression going on and if he's been through some really difficult events that have set him back. What has happened to him since this change in behavior and the job loss?
No, it's not a change in behavior. His behavior has been like that forever. It's just that, he did have trauma growing up when he was very, very young, which is, you know, not a one-time trauma. It's just that the parents were busy working, and he was just left alone. So nobody teach him how to grow up.
And what happened that he lost his job?
Why he lost his job? It's just a recession time right now.
Okay.
What was his job, Rita? You said that his identity was wrapped up in his job. What was his type of work?
He is an IT.
Okay. So, all that aside, what could she do to initiate change?
It depends on whether or not you've asked him to get help and to look at this problematic behavior and how he's responded to that. Can you tell us that briefly?
Well, we did go through a lot of counseling, but when a lot of time the counseling get mad at him because he doesn't do his homework. And I also learned a lot from the counseling. And
Rita, and how long ago did he last participate with you in counseling?
With me, me two together probably a year or two ago, and maybe a year and a half. And then the counselor asked him to go to another person. So then he go to him for about a year, and then the counselor says there's nothing he can do to him.
So here's my hope, Rita. I hope that you will start off with a confession that you know resentment has built up over the years for you, and it's been hard to know how to bring the resentment to him, and it's justified resentment, but it's hard to know how to bring it to him well. So the admission that you've complained now lately quite a bit, and it probably hasn't been the best way to go about it. Starting with humility always makes it more likely that he'll receive the rest of the truth. So after the humble confession, I'd have you tell him, this isn't working for me, and more anger is building up in me because of the way that we're living, and I need us to get back in to help again, and I need you to try individual therapy again, because I'm not willing to continue to live like this. Rita, if you expressed it to him in that way, how do you think he'd respond?
I had a thought, but then I kind of lost when you asked me the question, because I think this went on several times. He would say that I need to go to counseling because counseling is free. So then he would want me to take advantage of it. But to me, counseling is wasting time because...
Then Rita, you haven't been with the right fit of therapist yet. Because therapist with a good counselor who can understand both your side of the problem, because you've got your own imperfections, and his as well, it will not be a waste of time if you're doing real and good therapy. And so when he responds, I want you to get in therapy, I want your answer to be, I am. I have an appointment. I've gotten it. And Rita, we can help you with that. Because you're right, husband. I need to keep working on myself, too. I'm totally willing to do that. Will you join me? Stay strong with this, Rita, and stay humble, but remain kindly insistent.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is when I go to counseling with him, I do my part, but he doesn't do any homework. And that in there, he just keep on bragging and doing things that not really helping us.
Rita, if you continue on with a good fit therapist, the next steps will be establishing the incremental boundaries that will need to take place so that you better protect your heart as your husband continues to choose what looks like a very lazy approach. But I also suspect it is hampered by a clinical level of depression. I don't know enough yet, but that's my guess, that he's also struggling against a depression.
Yeah, and I would just say that If you had a session with your counselor that both of you are going to, you might say, you know, he doesn't ever do his homework. So could you not prescribe homework and just know that it's not going to get done and then do the work here? Ask him the questions that you would have asked in the homework. I mean, that's just being realistic. Now, I'm going to send you this Every Believer's Thought Life book, and I'm just going to ask, I'm going to hope that he will read it. But if not, you read it, and then you tell him some things you're learning there, because he's got a thought life problem. He thinks he's a failure, or he thinks he's entitled, or like Alice is saying, all of his thoughts probably are being impacted by some level of depression. So I want to send that to you. And let me also send you the 1-year Bible for Women that my wife did, and hope that that is going to help you. But please, let us find a counselor for you. Hold on. We want to find a counselor for you that we know will know the things that we're aware of. And anybody else in this kind of situation where there's a huge problem, but the resistance to resolution is even stronger, call us and let us help you. Give you the words that might help you or the concepts that might help you make a difference. If you want to join us here, 1-800-229-3000. Now let's go to, I believe it's pronounced Faye. Hi there, Los Angeles, also KKLA. How are you, Faye? How's it going?
Well, going okay, kind of. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I have a daughter-in-law who has an alcohol problem.
Mm.
She has admitted that she has. When we had an episode happen and confronted her about it, she said she was getting resources to help herself. So we let it go at that. But yesterday we had an incident where she was at our church. She's all by herself, but she decided to have a beer while she was back there by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then my son saw her and was really concerned that she was in a place where my other son, that she's not married to, may come down and want to be in that same space and didn't want anything to happen, husband and wife kind of thing situation to happen. And
okay.
She... you could tell that she was inebriated, and she was upset with me. And she kind of acted like, okay, it's okay, I'm going to go home. But then she came back to get her son, who's 8 years old, to go with her. And he really didn't want to go because he was with his auntie. And I said, no, he could stay. And she got upset about that. But I said, I'm grandma, and, you know, last decision goes with grandma. So he stays.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? Horrible situation,
yeah,
really.
That's true. How do we help her? So, because it's like she, you know, is going down a road where eventually, you know, her son could be taken away from her, or she could have an accident and both of them get hurt or worse.
Sure.
So what do we do at this point?
Okay.
To try to help.
Mark, what do you think? What would be a first step for her?
Faye, have you tried to have a family intervention with your daughter-in-law?
Yes. I have two daughters that have spoken with her, and her son's not the best. I mean, her husband's not the best for trying to intervene. He just gets too agitated and angry-like. So, so he just said he's not going to do anything. He hasn't gone for counseling for himself because of his anger issue, and she doesn't seem to want to go for any counseling.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of things going on in the family dynamic here, and it sounds you've tried. We say in therapy that people change when the benefits of change exceed the cost of staying the same, and so it sounds like some of the costs are going to have to get greater and greater for her. You can hear the music playing here, so I'm going to let Steve take it from here, and then we'll get back to you after the break.
You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. We would really love to help you here. 1-800-229-3000. Call us. We'd love to talk to you. No problem too big, no problem too small. What we're wanting to do is inspire you to take a few steps that transforms you and whatever relational difficulty that you're having. We've been doing it for 35 years. Pretty exciting. Join us.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. We were discussing our phone calls, which we always like to do. And now we're going to talk to Faye again. And what a tragic situation where, you know, you've got a grandchild that's life could be in jeopardy, and you have your daughter who's in trouble. So, Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, so, Faye, I think you need to think about safety first here. If she was willing to drive with your grandson in the car while she was inebriated, that is a really, really big problem. And it sounds like you've had the chat with her. Her husband, your son, is not a very good confronter for whatever reason that is. And it sounds like you probably do need to figure out if there comes a situation that you need to call the police, because when people are in addiction, they're the best liars. They lie to themselves, right? And they don't seek help until it becomes a great cost for them. And unfortunately, it might have to get to that point where it starts to become a cost. But I think you really do need to monitor. If she's taking your grandson in the car, that's a reportable offense if she's intoxicated.
Okay. So, Faye, I would have you and your husband, any family members you can get in on this, have a meeting first with your son to share with him. This is our plan of how we're going to address your wife. We're hoping you'll get on board because we know this has been really difficult for you. We want to tell her, we love you, daughter-in-law, and we really want you to be well, to be healthy, and to have freedom from alcohol. We're going to ask again. I think you've said no in the past, but can we help you get to a therapist? Can we join you at a speaker meeting? Because we want to support you in this in any way we can. If she gives yet another no or she's resistant to it, then you would say, well, then we do need to warn you that if we think you're driving intoxicated with your son, or if we think you're endangering him or neglecting him, we will call authority figures to get help here because we love you all and we love our grandson that much. Now, if you'll receive help, then we won't have to ever follow through on this. But otherwise, we are forced to follow through if you do not get help and you continue to drink. So try to get your son's buy-in with that. Whether or not he buys in, have that conversation as calmly, gently, and lovingly as you can with your daughter-in-law.
Yeah. And I forgot that it was daughter-in-law. But, you know, what you might want to do is tell the son that there is a speaker meeting at 8 o'clock on Friday. I'm going to come by and pick the two of you up at 7 o'clock. We'll get a quick bite to eat and go to that speaker meeting. And just expect that he's going to tell his wife and you're going to be there. And you take him to the speaker meeting, if possible. If not, tell him. Okay. So we're kind of spoon-feeding to get the ball rolling. Tell him about a speaker meeting they could go to, and he takes her on his own. Mark, what are your thoughts here about final words for her on how do we help a daughter-in-law who just won't stop drinking?
Yeah, and I think there's also programs like Al-Anon, and I think you should get into that. Try and get your son-in-law into that. And if he won't, you go and you give him the information. But yeah, the message needs to be, it needs to be with love, but it also needs to be firm.
And if humility can be added in, as in, hey, I'm not coming at you from a perfect place. I'm an imperfect mom, an imperfect grandma. I've struggled with XYZ, fill in the blank. That so helps to lower the defensiveness in the room.
All right. I really am glad that you called. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and the workbook that goes with it. And I would really hope that you could give that to her and say, you know, you go to church. I mean, I'm so glad. Here is here are the 12 steps integrated into a Bible, and it's helped over 4 million people. Now, you know, you'd think if 4 million people did something that fixed a problem, and you had that problem, you'd say, maybe I ought to do what those people did. That's called compliance. It's a wonderful form of surrender. You don't just have to wait till you have this emotional crying thing happen. You can surrender by simply making a commitment to comply with what some other people have done that have it's changed everything. All right, let's go to our next caller. And by the way, this phone number, 1-800-229-3000. And here we're talking to Amira from Pikesville, Maryland. WRBS is the station. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
How could we help?
Hello?
Hi.
Well,
yes,
I have a 31-year-old grandson living in my home with his 9-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. He's Afro-American. Her mom is Caucasian. She lived with her mom in Georgia, and she's had to come to Maryland to stay with her father because she was having issues in school. Her mother had on medication because she said that she had attention deficit disorder. She's been here for about 6 months, I believe. They've only been in my home for about 3 months. And she has not had any medication. And she is to see a counselor because she's having issues here also. One of the things she was doing while she was in Georgia with her mom, she told one child that she was going to kill her, and another child she pulled a pair of scissors on. Wow. And here, she's people are calling her name. She's tripping and falling. Someone is hitting her. She also said that her stepfather called her the B word. And
all right, I'm so glad that you called us. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and as it goes, we often talk to a committed grandmother who's trying to help a grandchild. Here, a great-grandmother, if I have it right. Is that right, Amira?
That's right.
And I'm so glad that you called, because this sweet girl, I mean, she's not doing sweet things, but we know down in there she's there. She needs some help.
That's right.
Mark, let's start with you here about what we could do.
Yeah, your granddaughter sounds like a very highly stressed child at 9 years old, doing those things, concerning behaviors, and she needs help. She's been, moved several states away. She's away from her mother. Yeah, I'm sure there's separation anxiety going on for her. You said that she's not taking an ADHD medication, or she's not being given it. Does she have a physician? Does she have a doctor who she's following up with here? I think that would be important.
Well, in order to transition to the schools here in Maryland, she had to she had to go to a doctor and get physically examined. I don't think my grandson made them aware of the child's issues, and I think he's in a lot of denial also. Mm. He feels that she does not need medication, and I kind of feel that way too. I feel she needs to be loved more and dealt with in a way that will be conducive to her mental well-being. And she has not had this treatment in the past. And I find the child operating in survival modes. She's done things in my home.
Right. Okay. Hold on. We need to address the medication issue first.
Mm-hmm.
You are right. She needs love and compassion that she hasn't had. But if she's at the point of saying, I want to kill somebody, or and then all the things you described that's going on, I would reconsider that thought about medication, because it's going to take a lot of love and compassion to retrain, re-navigate inside the brain of this child. So maybe the medication, the right medication, could stabilize her until the wonderful love you have for her has an opportunity to take hold. Alice, your thoughts here.
Amir, I want you to combine a couple of things in the conversations that you have with your granddaughter and model this for your grandson, that it is so unfair what you have been through, kiddo, that the adults in your life have really fallen short. And you have every right to be angry about it, to be furious about what you have gone through, what you have gone through and what has been taken from you. And I'm going to help you learn how to not sin in your anger, because we've got to separate those two things. And kiddo, God tells us, don't let the sun go down on your anger, because it gets poisonous to us. And so I want to invite you, we're going to try to pray about it together. And I'm going to help show you how to express anger without threatening to hurt other people. Because, my love, when you do that, I'm going to discipline that, because that's not good for you. And you're going to get in big trouble at school and have lots of problems if you keep threatening other kids. But I'm going to help you to put your anger into words, because we adults around you have fallen far short.
I think it's important to understand, too, Amir, is that kids who have ADHD, they have difficulty with impulse regulation and emotion regulation. And so I think what Alice is saying is great, but also, yeah, she needs that love, but recognize that piece of her. And sometimes that's where medication helps. It just helps slow their brains down so that they can learn to build those new neural pathways, and they can stay focused and attentive with you and listen. But I do think that you need a treatment team. You need a physician involved. I know you want to just give her love, but you need somebody else involved too, a medical professional who you're kind of bouncing these ideas off. I think you need to loop in the teachers to that too. Because they're seeing her every day at school. So they need to know that you are seeking the right supports and that you're all working together.
Mm-hmm. And her trauma level is so significant, Amira, just with what we know so far, that she needs that professional level of intervention along with your help.
Yeah, I would be seeking out a specialist that could help with the right medication. I'd also be looking for a couple of other women that would say, I want to put into this girl's life. Mm-hmm. And that, because you've got a lot to put in, but you need other sources to help you with that. Let me send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that will help. Also, I just hope and pray that you can connect with her at the deepest level possible. Deepest level. And so I'll send Take Your Life Back. Maybe there are just some things in there that you can communicate to her in a way that might be helpful. If you hang on, maybe we could help you find a first start or a different kind of counselor than you're going to, or maybe you're going to the right one. But we'd love to talk with you about that off the air. All right, Larry Sonnenberg is with us here. And Larry, what do you have for us today?
Steve, I've got an onion of a testimony.
All right, let's hear the onion.
Is it going to make you cry?
No, it's not.
Okay.
This is a great workshop. I'm talking about Every Man's Battle Workshop, because that's coming up Saturday, our online workshop. And here's what this gentleman said. This is a great workshop to get men to peel back the layers of our hearts and what causes us to seek and destroy our lives and hurt the ones we care the most about. Hmm. The weekend helps you start the recovery and deal with and repair our character flaw. Learning how to live our life in recovery, we learned about building trust with our wife and family this weekend and was given the tools to rebuild my life with God's help. Hmm. God's grace. Because God will never leave you or forsake you. Satan will, however, up his game and pursue your life. The accountability partner is key. I would recommend this workshop to any man who deals with these struggles.
Amen.
It's such a true thing. There are layers to this. It started at a young age for most guys that come into that workshop. There's so many things. I won't even talk about what it might have been, but whether it's exposure to pictures and photographs, yeah, or whether it was an abuse situation where they were abused young. But it's layers. We work with the layers. We work with discovering what it was and how to get out of that, how to find recovery, how to find your group, and take off your mask. And not have any shame.
There you go. It is a shame-free zone. That's one reason people don't come, is they think they're going to experience more shame. They can't handle it. It's not going to happen here. And I just hope and pray. Well, what we've discovered is there are some really good men doing some really crummy things. Mm. And you don't feel like a good man because that's not coming out, that you're not living into that because you're stuck in the other thing. We'll help you get out of that thing. And then not only are you a good man, you live as a good man, and you feel good about yourself. An adolescent does everything they can to feel good. An adult does things that helps them feel good about themselves. If you're doing something that doesn't make you feel good about yourself, it's all about temporary gratification, you need some help stopping that and live into the adult that you can be, and we'll do that. We're going to do it online. We rarely do that online. You can do it. This is the easiest, least expensive way possible, and I hope you'll join us. What else, Larry?
I know there's a lot of guys living in cities and areas of the country where we don't typically do this workshop. This is your chance. Don't squander that. You know, if you live out in the Netherlands, that's just hard to get anywhere. You don't want to take an expensive flight. This is your chance. You don't have to stay overnight with anybody. You just come one day, and you're going to get a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And folks, if you can support that, we would appreciate it. Your finances, your donations are what makes this ministry go.
And how are we going to say thank you when they do support us, Larry?
Well, when they support us,
Every Believer's Thought Life, that fabulous book that's changing your life every day as you read it.
Sitting right here in front of me.
And also, we have a library of amazing devotionals, 100 Days to Freedom from Anxiety, 100 Days to Freedom from Depression, 100 Days of Character, 100 Days of Prayer, 100 Days of Peace, 8 books. And when you join Club New Life, $35 a month, this is our way of saying thank you. And we'll take a break. Yeah, go. Final thing, Larry?
Well, just going to say, if you wonder why would I need those 8 devotionals, every day there's something popping in your mind. Mm-hmm. Every day something's going on. Every day somebody's coming to you asking how to deal with it. These are great resources.
If you want to join us, we're going to be here another hour and 20 minutes. 1-800-229-3000. Really glad you're with us here today. We love to see people respond, transform, and live into the calling that God has on every single person's life. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are very back with you. So glad you're with us here today. You know, Galatians 9, what is it, 5:1? Yeah, 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And if you are not free, we can help you with whatever it is that has held you in bondage. We don't want that for you. Well, I hope and pray. B, I can't go to your call until the next show. Same with you, Trish. I hope you'll hold on. But I'm going to go to Bobby and see how we can help here. Anybody else wanting to join us in the next hour, 1-800-229-3000. Bobby, what's on your mind today?
Basically, I want to know, like, how to win my husband back. And after being 27 years of being married to him, and then now we've been separated for 2 years. And we were talking for a while there after the separation, but somebody threw a lot of stuff into my brain, saying that he was with somebody else and he has another woman and he doesn't love you and you don't want him. It was a bunch of lies. You know, you have to take our thoughts captive, and I didn't do that.
Okay.
Of course, I ran my life.
What's going on with him right now in the separation?
During the separation, he has grown tremendously with the Lord. He has this great connection with God. He has grown tremendously. And this time apart that we've been separated, he's on fire for God.
All right. So tell us, and then I'll turn it over to you, Alice, first. Tell us why you're not back together with him.
Right now, because we didn't talk for like maybe 8 months, due to the fact that lady put those thoughts into my mind, and then she was also saying he was abusive to me and was telling him things, but she didn't believe any of it. But yet, then I believed that he was with another woman, and so I didn't.
Okay, but why aren't now that you know what all is going on, why aren't you saying to him, I'm so sorry, I misunderstood, and working toward getting back together? Tell me what's holding that up.
I'm not quite sure. That's why I'm waiting to see. I think he's praying and waiting and seeing what the Lord is going to speak to him about in his mind, you know what I mean, and so forth. And I told him this morning, I said, hey, I'm ready to, because I live in a peaceful country, and to move back to Philadelphia.
All right, so let me ask Alice. We're almost don't have a lot of time here, but I'm going to ask Alice to take this and see what you can do to help, Alice.
Bobby, I feel a real strong caution, and I don't know all the details to the story, but there was some reason you and your husband separated and have stayed apart for so long, and so I need you to very carefully consider why you separated in the first place and whether or not he's done the character work on his part of the problem and if you've done the same on your part of the problem. Perhaps there was infidelity, perhaps there was a big rupture, and although it's so necessary to draw closer to God, we also need to see the relational work that a person has done, and it's usually not just going to church, it's usually going to individual therapy, doing groups, and showing evidence of change over time so that there's reason to reconcile with your husband. If those reasons are already there, then I would have you take that very humble confessional approach to admit, I've been wrong in what I've done in my part of the separation. I bought all these lies. I let my mind be poisoned against you, and I'm doing work to clean up my mind and to come to the truth about the kind of man that you are. So, husband, would you allow me now to show the evidence that I'm changing with the group I'm in, with the individual therapy I'm in, that I want to see and believe the best in you, the good man that you truly are? And I was mistaken to believe those lies, if in fact they were lies.
I think that's very good. Mark, anything you want to add here?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that we have all the time to get into answering all the questions, Bobby, but I'm also feeling that sense of caution. If somebody told you that, I think you need to just to ask yourself, what would be their motivation to lie to you? Because many times when people discover that a spouse is having an affair, you start down the path of grief, and the first stage of grief is denial. We don't want to face it. And if that is really happening, then that really needs to be addressed before you guys can reconcile here. Mm-hmm. So I recommend that you get into marriage counseling and work on the reconciliation process. And I think in that needs to be pressed in there.
You don't want loneliness to be driving your behavior, because mm-hmm. loneliness can lead us to jump back into an unhealthy situation too quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the most powerful ale, which stands for all loneliness essentially gone. Anyway, I guess that's a leg. But anyway, we've got this intimacy and marriage workshop. Mm-hmm. It could mm-hmm. help you. I'm going to send you How We Love. I'm going to send you two copies because you're separated. I hope you could read them, work on them together over the phone. The workbook's included there. But we want to get you back together, but we want to get you back together for good and not for evil. And we want to get you back together for good, not temporarily. And that takes a little bit of work. And so whenever I hear somebody saying, here's how I've grown versus here's what I'm doing so I continue to grow, it's like Alice said, it's a caution that we have to make you aware of. Because, you know, if I'm reading my Bible more and praying more, I'm doing a really good thing. But it takes more than that if we're going to truly transform our lives. There has to be a surrender to God to do whatever it takes. I'll remind everybody my favorite verse, Jeremiah 6:14. They treat the mortal wounds of my people with superficial treatments, and they don't even blush. He's talking about prophets and priests there. So don't be like one of those false prophets or one of those misguided priests. Do what needs to be done. Don't put a Band-Aid where deep surgery is needed. If you need help with that, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really do want to help you. This Saturday is Every Man's Battle online. What a great opportunity. You don't have to travel. It's less money. It could be the beginning of a whole new way of life for you. Please consider it. Intimacy in Marriage is February the 17th through 19th. Now, why don't you just call and ask about it? Ask if there's financial assistance. There has never been a better Valentine's Day gift, except maybe the Hope Diamond. Then you could afford all the therapy in the world. But then this. What are they? Honey, I want to do this. Because I want us to recapture. We did get married, you know, for a reason. Let's get that back. And then restore for any woman who's been hurt by a man with a sexual integrity problem is February the 24th. I mentioned Lose It for Life. Oh, my goodness. Some are addicted to food, and you don't have to be. In this wonderful little life recovery prayer devotional by Nick Harrison and myself, it's a one-year listen what it says. Addiction is a fire that blazes within relentlessly. It's not possible to escape serious burns if we don't put out the fire at first notice. Left unattended, the flames will consume us. The hot coals will bring painful blisters that cripple us. So don't be crippled by a fire that you're stoking by your own resistance. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To join us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.